Hello, this is your Friends with Benefits, introducing the new year. I know it's been a while since we last spoke to you guys. We had our busy season, but we are picking it up again this year. We are hoping to release an episode at least once a month. We'll be better about tracking it and staying on time. So if you haven't checked out our first episode, it's a great episode. It references all the insurance terms, a lot of good practices in there on how to handle your policies. So take a look back at episode one. Now moving on to today's episode, it's about handling claims. So we will be going over the practices, the pain points. No one likes getting bills in their mail. It's super confusing trying to combat it if something's wrong. So we will be going over some statistics and the best practices to deal with them.
Awesome. Like Hector said, welcome to our very first episode of Your Friends with Benefits in 2019. We are very excited for today's episode. We've been working on it for a while now, and really the purpose of this episode is to continue to educate you on how to be a savvy consumer when it comes to your healthcare, and when it pertains specifically to bills and claims and how that's handled. One of the first things that I want to bring up in talking about claims and bills is that you have to know how hospitals and when you go get services done, how those prices are generated. And really, in all honesty, I can't reiterate enough how much you have to know your policy in advance of any procedures, emergency room visits, or even your doctor's visit. You just need to know how your insurance policy is going to cover it, even if you're not going to know 100% how much is going to be coming out of your pocket. And we'll kind of talk about why you won't know that. We still want to make it so that you understand your policy as best to your knowledge as possible.
And I think this goes back to our main goal for podcasting in the first place, is to really understand your policies. Again, they're your products. So really, the most effective way on handling claims is to get it right the first time.
Correct.
Really know what you have, where you're going, and how it's going to be processed. I know it can be a little bit confusing, but the more educated you are, the less problems you're going to have.
Yeah, and we're not really talking too much about your copays when you go to the doctor's office, although I will touch on that a bit. But mostly when you go to the hospital and you get those hefty bills and you don't know what you're being charged, how you're being charged, based on what pricing. And it really is a big problem that we have in our healthcare system still, is that transparency piece that was never addressed with the Affordable Care Act being signed into law. It's still one of the main reasons why our prices continue to rise, is because we're not able to shop like we shop for everything else. Hector, when was the last time you shopped for something online, like a TV, or what was the last thing you shopped for?
Probably a week ago, I ordered some dress shirts. I looked at the best deals out there.
Yeah.
And I knew I could read reviews, so I knew what I was getting.
Right. And beforehand, you knew exactly how much it was going to cost you. You put your credit card in and done. That's not the way it is with healthcare. So we live in a society, like you just said, I mean, we can shop for anything online. We can price compare, you know, the best TV on the marketplace, the best car in our, you know, whatever we're looking for in a car. We can shop for all these things and know exactly what it's going to cost us. But when it comes to a shoulder surgery or a knee surgery or a huge emergency room visit, you have no idea what that's going to cost you unless you do your due diligence. So there are things that we can do. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up here is that how hospitals come up with their pricing. So this might blow some of your minds away, but it's really important that you know this. But I was watching like an episode of Adam Ruins Everything, and Hector's heard me talk about this in the past because it was really impactful even for me. I've been in the industry for 13 years, and this was even for me kind of eye-opening. And I actually welcome everybody to take a look. It's on True TV online. You can look it up. But it's basically him explaining how hospitals come up with their pricing and how you end up with these big bills. And in all honesty, the carriers kind of come in to hospitals to work with them on negotiating numbers. But the way that they start the negotiating process is arbitrary. So they basically pick a number in the sky and then start negotiating down from there, which is, again, very different how we from how we do everything else. So if you buy a pair of shoes at the store, the price of that shoe is going to be what it took to make it, the overhead it took to make it, the marketing, the materials to get it into store, and built into that is profit. Whereas when you go into a hospital, those prices are actually negotiated the opposite way. They're going to come up with some arbitrary number in the sky that Anthem Blue Cross or whoever's negotiating picks out. Then they say to the hospital, okay, we're going to pay a certain percentage of this. And that's how they come up with a number that then you're then billed. So one of my points here is, number one, transparency is very much lacking in our healthcare system, which is what causes these prices to continue to rise and causes healthcare to be very expensive. But number two, just how important it is for you to know your benefit plans. And really, I think Ron, our owner of our agency, he brings this up all the time, that you don't really buy insurance so that everything is covered, because as we all know, not everything is covered. We actually buy insurance because of the negotiating powers of the carriers. So when you have a carrier and you stay in network and you visit the in-network facilities, you're always going to have that negotiated rate that can be 25 mm-hmm. to 99% below what the hospital is charging. So that's a really great reason to have insurance.
Yeah, and just adding to your point, there's so many hospitals, there's so many medical groups, there's so many insurance companies that really a shoulder surgery can cost anything. You really don't know the price of it. And we kind of assume that they really just pick a number up in the sky that's up there. Because if you ever get a bill, if you don't have insurance, we've heard many situations where you can actually negotiate that down. So I think that's just further proof of, you know, just the lack of organizing going into the pricing of this of surgeries and procedures.
Exactly. I mean, here's a really good example I got from that Adam Knows Best True TV episode. An IV bag can cost less than $1 to produce and actually have there, but they can charge whatever they want. So you'll get charged maybe somewhere around $137 for that IV bag that costs $1. So again, that's if you have no insurance. So that's the other side of this coin, is that if you don't have any insurance whatsoever, you don't have any of those negotiations going into the hospital, then the hospital can really charge you anything, and I mean anything they want. And on average, we're seeing about 3.4 times the cost of what it actually takes to take care of a patient. They're charging people without insurance up to 3 times more, if not sometimes there's cases that it's actually costing 12.6 times more. What is interesting to me is that if you don't have insurance and you walk into an emergency room in California, you have to be seen no matter what. It's the law. So for those of us that do have insurance, this is one of the reasons that our premiums continue to rise, is that we are also paying for those people that don't have insurance that walk into the emergency room. So even though they're getting billed the full price of this arbitrary number that was created between the carrier and the hospital, they're paying 100% of that cost. But if they can't afford it, obviously they're not going to pay it. And there's all kinds of other things that come along with that that I'm not going to get into in this episode. But just wanted to make people really aware of, yeah, you're never really going to know exactly what it's going to cost you to go in for a procedure. That's why we really actually also encourage people that if you know you're getting a shoulder surgery or you're having knee surgery or something like that, that you get a pre-authorization from your carrier so that you can at least get an estimate as to what that's going to cost you.
Yeah, and we empathize with any member or participant going in there. Even if you do have insurance, it's a little bit nervous, you know, when the doctor says, hey, you have to have the extra blood work or a CT scan. It kind of puts you on edge. Oh, how much is this going to cost me? Is this going to, you know, make me reach my deductible? All those kind of questions. So, for example, today, you know, I went in and we're having a CT scan just, you know, for checkup. I've been having migraines. But nonetheless, you know, I have insurance. I know my policy really well. But even then, it's still like a little bit nerve-wracking. I'm just like, you know, do
what
I really need it?
What bills am I going to get?
What bills am I going to get? So you just really never know. And we empathize that. But trust me, it's a lot better when you have an idea of what is covered than going in there blindly and then just receiving this enormous bill for whatever cost, you know. And a lot of the time is they don't code it right. So that's another big problem, is just all these technicalities that go behind billing. There's a lot of errors that can be made, and there's a lot of steps that a claim goes through.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It kind of leads into really the purpose of this episode is, you know, tip number one is know your policy. And I think we will say that throughout every single episode, because I really can't emphasize that enough. I mean, we really have to be our own advocates in a lot of ways, and know your resources. Again, you know, for our clients, we are always available to help them with any bills that they receive in the mail, and making sure that they were paid correctly, that they were coded correctly, because to Hector's point, claims can often get denied and rejected just for very simple reasons. We have a really good example of this. Hector can actually speak to it. We had a client who kept getting billed and kept getting billed for a very simple doctor's visit. And it was a $300 bill or something.
Yeah, $300 bill, you know, it doesn't look much. But in the long term, basically, this client has been on this policy for quite a few years. He's been going to the same hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's been dealing with this claim issue probably for a little bit over a year. So he was
before very he came worried. To us.
Yes. So he was very worried about, you know, getting sent to collections. Now, we just looked at the bill, and most people can assume this correctly. They were billing the wrong network. So I'm not going to say carriers or anything, but for example, you have carriers, their HMOs, their Medicare products, their EPOs, their PPOs. And we looked at what they tried to run, and it was just
the wrong coverage.
Weren't
they billing like Medicare or something? And this
guy
is not even in his 60s. He's nowhere near Medicare age.
Yeah, he had a PPO policy, so basically they were getting the wrong information down. I called multiple times, and, you know, it still took a while to resolve. So just keep in mind, you know, if you do get a bill, don't freak out. There's a lot of ways to combat it, and as we said it before, there can be a lot of errors made along the ways, and this is, you know, not to throw carriers under the bus, because everybody can make them, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Like your broker can misprocess something, an email can get lost. There's just a lot of steps in dealing with a claim that, you know, something can get missed. So that's also something good to keep in mind in case, you know, you start getting nervous.
I agree. And every bill that you get in the mail is worth taking a second look at, because in this instance, they were billing Medicare, which they should have never billed. But the gentleman never even noticed that that's what was happening. It had to get kicked back to us. But some of these things can get caught much easier. So let's say you went in for a physical. This is actually a very common one, too. So you go in for your annual physical. All plans in the small group market. So you, if you work for an employer that has 100 or less employees and they offer benefits, your plan 100% has preventive care coverage with no cost. So you shouldn't really get a bill, you would think. You walk in there, you check in, your doctor sees you, he runs all this lab work, you leave. But let's say in the middle of your visit with your doctor, you mention you've been getting headaches, let's just say. Well, all of the sudden, that preventive care visit now becomes a diagnostic visit, because now we're switching over from something that's preventive, which is pretty much the same for everybody, right? They're going to run the state required lab work for your age, depending on whether you're with an HMO or a PPO. Then they're going to go ahead and run those tests that are specific to physicals. But now if they start running other tests to figure out why you're getting these headaches, now that visit has converted into a diagnostic visit, and now you will get a bill in the mail, and you're wondering why this happened. So one of the things that we always recommend is have a conversation with your doctor and ask them to bill them separately, or just make a completely different visit altogether for your headaches versus your preventive care. Now, we don't really want to go to the doctor multiple times, so if you're just very clear with your doctor as to what's preventive and what is diagnostic, then you should be okay. But we get those a lot. People are like, I went for my preventive care. Why am I getting billed?
Yeah, and just to go off on a little tangent, it'll be short, but there's other ways of, you know, visiting your doctors nowadays. So There's a nurse hotline. You can call him. You can email him. So really, if it's just like a basic question and you're trying to save that diagnostic copay, you know, check into what they offer. Check what your insurance carrier and what the provider offers. If you can, you know, get them online or shoot them a quick email. If it's something simple, then, you know, then they'll schedule something if, you know, they deem it necessary.
Yeah, and so every doctor's office and every hospital has a billing department. And in their billing department, they have certified coders and billing specialists. So they also make mistakes. So as you can see, the whole process, right? You walk into the doctor's office, you check in, they write you down as checked in, what visit you came in for. You go into the doctor's office, you talk to him about whatever's going on. He then submits the paperwork to billing as to everything that you discussed. They associate every diagnostic or every point that you made during that visit, and they assign an ICD code to it. And that actually tells the carrier how it should be paid. So now you can see where the multiple errors can happen, right? One, in your conversation when you're making the visit, maybe you went in there for one thing and then you start discussing something else. Two is the billing person. That person can make an error in the coding and your claim could either be mispaid or rejected or denied altogether. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of those too, where claims are denied and we have to go back and appeal them just because they were miscoded. Other simple errors that can be made during the billing and claims process is just incorrect patient information. Maybe they have the wrong name for you or date of birth or social security number, and that's not going to match with the information that the carrier has. So it's going to cause you to get maybe a bill that you didn't expect or get the claim denied altogether. So that's where Hector's like, don't panic. We want to relook at those claims and make sure that they were paid correctly. It could be wrong provider information sometimes. It could be the insurance information is incorrect, mismatched medical codes like we discussed, and then there's a lot of just duplicate billing issues. So there's a lot of ways that errors can happen, I think is our point. What we want to make sure is that you don't ignore these bills and that you also don't just take it at face value and just pay it. That's your money. You want to make sure that it's paid correctly. I mean, that's why we have insurance, right? So that it covers at least a portion of the cost.
Yeah, that's correct. And in my short experience working in the industry, the claims that I have handled, you know, probably around half of them are misprocessed at some point. That's just a personal anecdote. I don't have stats to back that up.
I have one. According to the AARP, this is actually really good timing, 200 million claims are rejected every single year just for a simple error. Mm-hmm. This is from Forbes magazine, an article from back October 2013. Trust me, things have not changed that much. I bet you that number is still the same. And why that article hasn't been updated. So, yeah, so I guess our point here is, again, don't panic. Just we need to identify what happened. If you can't figure it out on your own after you've reviewed the bills and everything makes sense, you can either call the billing department of your provider and try to work with them and see what may have happened, or use your resources. I mean, again, like, we get involved in these things all the time because we know what to look for. But I really want you guys to know what to look for, right? I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, is to help you become savvier when it comes to your bill. So we can tell you, look at the coding, look at the diagnostics. You can read that. It can tell you exactly. And then look at your EOB too. So we'll get into that in a second. But you want to look at the line items on your bill and see exactly, were you there on that day? Mm-hmm. Did you have that blood work done? Is that something that you discuss with your doctor or not? Or does anything look wrong? Is all of your patient information correct? So look at those things first. Then if you still can't figure it out but you don't agree with the bill, then you want to probably either reach out to the billing department or a resource like your broker.
Yeah, that's correct. And as we stated many times, there's so many hands in that pot. So it's really important not to stress out just because it it's nerve-wracking. So, you know, we've dealt with claims that were very easy to fix. Now, a lot of them are complicated. A lot of them, you know, they are frustrating. But like Anna said, you have resources. So if you see something wrong on your bill or on your claim, just, you know, take a deep breath and just know that it can most likely be fixed.
Exactly. In fact, in that same report, the Forbes magazine article, they also state that the AARP reports that about half of the 200 million claims that are rejected or denied actually are appealed successfully. So always, always just double check. I mean, you don't want to leave money on the table, and you definitely don't want to be giving carriers more money than you should for things that you did or did not have services for. So let's see, what else do we want to discuss here? Because again, you want to, I think the pre-authorization thing is huge, and I want to go back to that for a second before I get into EOBs and stuff. Whenever you're having a surgery of any sort, or you know you're going to be in the hospital for a while, pregnancy is kind of a good one, because that's a very common one. And a lot of times they do what is called universal billing or global billing, where your doctor's visits, you're just going to pay, right? That's your correct. Copay every single time. But what about labor, delivery, and all the things that come when the baby's ready to come? You don't know what that bill's going to be like a lot of times, but you can start talking to your doctor. They can actually pretty much lay it out for you. Same thing goes with knee surgery, shoulder surgery, any surgery of any kind. We highly recommend that you have a discussion with your doctor and you ask for pre-authorization. So you have a very good, and predetermination, you have a very good idea of what this is going to cost you. Secondly, you kind of want to shop around. If you have a PPO and you're going to Stanford for a specific surgery and you know it's going to cost you X amount of dollars, you may want to get a second opinion somewhere else. Not only for the purpose of cost comparison and for being a savvy consumer, but second opinions are always worth it, because what if you can avoid the procedure altogether and therefore save a ton of money, right?
Yeah, and those of you for HMOs, you kind of have it easier, I think, in terms of dealing with claims. Obviously, if you go out of network, you're going to have to pay the full cost and negotiate with the provider. But if you stay in network, I know Kaiser has fee lists. So, you know, you kind of have a good idea. And we've seen these with dental and vision products as well that are HMO. They kind of give you, hey, this is an allotted amount for this service. So that's also another resource. If you are on an HMO, try to figure out if you can, you know, find a fee list out there.
That's great, too, because that actually segues into my next point, which is how PPOs vary in coming up with prices versus HMOs and non-PPO providers. So with a PPO, you have contracts. You have Anthem Blue Cross meeting with their doctor providers, coming up with contracted rates that they've both agreed upon before you even step foot in the doctor's office. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, these negotiated rates can be anywhere from 25 to 99% less than what you would pay without having insurance. Now, just because you have a PPO and you have out-of-network benefits, I still wouldn't go out-of-network unless you absolutely needed to. The reason for that is because non-PPO providers don't have any contract, therefore there is no negotiation. So at this point, the carrier has agreed to pay on the basis of Medicare. And Medicare rates are, they're only going to pay about 10% of that entire bill based on Medicare rates. So it's a very, very low amount. So let's say you have a $20,000 bill, you went out of the network, you're only going to get about 10% of that covered because you went out of network and there's no contracted fees and they're only going to pay on the basis of Medicare. So keep that in mind when you're going out of network. That's why it's also really, really important that you know that the hospital is in network, that your doctor that you're seeing, your surgeon, is in network when you're having these services done, because you will definitely receive pretty hefty bills if you're going out of network in any way.
Not to mention you have usually a higher deductible and a higher out-of-pocket. So there you go. You're just paying so much money, and really, if you go in network, the savings are astronomical.
Oh my gosh, you nailed it, because not only that, but any payments out of network don't accrue towards your deductible. And when they accrue towards your out-of-pocket max, it's only the amount that they paid. So it's only that 10% that's going to actually apply towards your out-of-pocket, not even the full amount that you paid. So in that $20,000 example, only $2,000 of that is going to apply towards your out-of-pocket expenses or out-of-pocket max, not the $18,000 that you
and
paid.
Just, you know, for an example, say you have a $10,000 out-of-network out-of-pocket maximum. Just imagine how much you would have to pay out-of-network for those providers in order to reach that. It's just not worth it to go out-of-network.
It's not. And then HMOs are a little different. They have capitated rates. So doctors get paid on a monthly basis whether you go to the doctor or not. So that's where the care can kind of sometimes be a little different because doctors are still going to want to keep your care under that capitated rate so that they're not overspending, right? So, but to your point, Hector, from earlier, HMOs like Kaiser, which is like, you know, the epitome of an HMO, they know what their fees are. You actually have access to their fees before you even have any of these procedures done. So take advantage of that. And with that being said, I really want to emphasize how important it is to register online with your carriers. I don't think that people do it enough. We emphasize this at every open enrollment meeting, but I don't think people do it. And one of the things, when you come to us as your broker, we're more than happy to help anytime with claims. Yeah. But one of the things that we're always going to request from you is an explanation of benefits. And that's one thing that we have no access to due to HIPAA privacy protection laws. I cannot pull an EOB for you. Hector cannot pull an EOB for you. You are the only person that can pull the explanation of benefits. And instead of being on hold with the carrier to try to get that, it is just much easier to register online and go ahead and download it. The other reason you want to register online is even if you don't have a bill to appeal, you absolutely want to know how your claims are being paid and what is applying towards your deductible and what isn't. It is important to know that all year long.
That's true. And it's so much easier doing everything online too. It's just more streamlined with your claims. So, for example, I have it on my portal where I go in there. I can see all my lab results. I can see what I've paid. All my prescriptions are on there for refill, so it is really one of the most powerful tools nowadays. And
yes.
From what I heard from people in the industry that've been here longer, is that it's long overdue, so you might as well use it.
Yeah. The other really cool tools that are coming out now that we're talking about claims and bills, and something that is starting to happen, and hopefully it will catch up over the years. I know that when I first started in the industry and HSAs were very, very popular, they wanted to come up with ways to make hospital pricing transparent. They weren't very successful at it back then. Now there's systems coming out again, and there's cost estimator tools like Aetna. For example, if you're an Aetna member, they have a cost estimator tool. United Healthcare, if you're a United Healthcare member, they have a tool on their website that allows you to estimate costs for certain services, as well as there are now databases. There's a federal database of national healthcare costs that's available where you can look at and compare pricing for certain procedures, as well as the fairhealthconsumer.org. healthbluebook.com, newchoicehealth.com, and saveonmedical.com. We're going to put these on our podcast notes so that you can refer to them there. But there's also a member payment estimator tool we'll put on there. But it's really, really, really important that you know these numbers before you have anything done so that you are not sent a nasty bill in the mail that ruins your day and maybe your year.
Yeah, I agree. And just, you know, since you mentioned so many carriers, I kind of want to bring it to, you know, annual enrollment. So you work for a company, they shop every year, you know, depending if the rates increase too much. So they shop carriers. So it's also to keep in mind, you know, whenever your procedure was done, whatever insurance you had at the time, that's what's going to apply. Your new insurance, so if you move from United Healthcare to Anthem, for example, and you had a procedure last year, you would want to go to United Healthcare, and you would want to keep all that information and, you know, make sure you have the appropriate bills and transactions and the resources to combat that. Hopefully it doesn't get there, but, you know, we see it all the time. People just wait to deal with their claims for whatever reason.
Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't ignore it. And trust me, I've done that in the past, and it's come back to bite me. So just don't do it. Open up those bills. Be diligent about looking at them. Review all the information. Make sure that, as far as you know, everything is correct. And then never be afraid to contact billing or any of your resources to go back to them and say, hey, this doesn't look right to me. I feel like I'm paying too much. Can you just have this looked at? Sometimes it's just people don't realize that they have a deductible that they have to meet first before they have certain services. So let me just reiterate that one more time. Your deductible is what you have to pay out of your own pocket, kind of like a car deductible. When you have car insurance and you get into an accident, you either have a $100, $500, or $1,000 deductible. That's what comes out of your pocket before anything is paid by the insurance carrier. Same thing with medical. So just know that if you're going in for a big procedure and you haven't done anything all year, so let's say it's mid-year, all you've been doing is going to the doctor, paying copays, you know, just picking up a prescription here and there, and then come June, you tear your ACL and you have to go in for surgery in July, you're going to have to meet that entire deductible before the insurance carrier starts paying for that surgery.
You know, and it might seem like common sense, but trust me, we get that question asked way too frequently. Hey, how come I have to pay $500? Well, that's because you have a $500 deductible. And trust me, we get that question quite a bit.
And it's, I mean, we laugh because we see it so often, but we understand it's not funny. And it can be very frustrating for employees. So even if it is that simple, we're happy to look at it for you and just make sure that your, you know, your insurance is doing what it's supposed to do.
So I had a scenario for you, Anna, just because I get this question and I think it's something we should talk about. So what if you're waiting for your insurance, you know, it's getting delayed, you need to go into a doctor quickly. I've, you know, we received this situation a few times where, you know, they're still processing enrollment for whatever reason. What do you do in that scenario?
So there's a couple ways that we handle that. So we basically don't really want you going to the doctor until you have your insurance card, just because it's going to be an additional hassle for you. I find that if you have a good relationship with your doctor, you've been with them for a long time, they understand. And they know they go through open enrollments all the time. They know that their patients go through open enrollment. So they understand pretty well. And they'll hold off on billing for you most of the time. So what I always recommend is that you take a copy of your application with you to your visit, so that they know that it truly is in process. And then either you can call them back when you get your ID card, and then they can process the billing, is typically how we do it, is the best way. We also sometimes get involved and let the doctor's office know. Sometimes they like to hear it from the actual people that are processing this stuff. We actually sometimes do get involved and let them know, hey, so-and-so needs to come see you, but we're in the middle of open enrollment. They won't have their ID card yet. Just know that they're in process.
Yeah, and I just kind of want to make the point, claims are going to differ for everybody. Everybody has different problems. Everybody goes to a different carrier. There are some questions that are more specific that, you know, it really is your broker's responsibility to help you answer these questions. I've been on the phone with insurance carriers, and I understand the pain of waiting there, you know, an hour or an hour and a half trying to connect to somebody. So really, the purpose of this episode and the purpose of this podcast is to give you the right tools so you prevent these headaches. And our information out here, you know, there's only a certain amount we can do, but whatever questions that you need answered, we can try to help you with that. That's through our Facebook, through our LinkedIn. You can always reach us at Shepherd & Associates.
And I think that's it for today, unless you have anything else to add.
Nothing really, but I just don't want to give our listeners an update on our schedule.
Awesome.
So like I said before, we're going to try to roll one out at least once a month at the end of the month.
Yep.
So our next episode will probably be a treat. It's more of a reminder. So this one is going to be about the changes in 2019 to your FSA, HSAs. It's going to be a really short one, but we just want to put that out there for our listeners so that they know that their products have changed and how they changed.
Yeah, that's great. So with that, we will leave you with things to think about. If you have any questions about anything we discussed, like Hector said, there's many avenues to reach us. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, our webpage. What else? That's about it. And you can always email us directly. We're not hiding from you, so yeah. Please feel free to reach out.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll you'll hear us next time, I guess.
Yep.